Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. Bye bye.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris. Pat, talk to us.
Well, I hear that Chris has another member of the family. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Yes.
Please, would you enlighten me? Is this breaking news? He's only
6 weeks old. Can you believe this?
No.
Chris, tell us about this new addition to the family.
Well, it appears. well, we got a new member of the family, yes, 6 weeks old. And we got a puppy.
Oh, a puppy. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, it's not
a child. Haven't we tried this
Well, before? Okay, so, yeah. The last dog was like 150 pounds, which didn't work out right. So yeah. We downgraded to 2 pounds.
Oh, this is good.
Well, you know, I really did it for my daughter, Emma. You know, she had been wanting a puppy. And, and you know, God just really started doing amazing work in her life.
Like
what? Yes, they did.
We all get suckered in like that.
Yeah. And, you know, and back during Christmas time, she was wanting a dog, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a long talk about responsibilities and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And, well, I mean, she just really you know, she started, you know, we talked about it the other day, but just really started abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, she got back into it. You know, she had kind of been an off and on thing. Mm-hmm. But God just really began to speak to her and work in her life. And she started just doing things around the house without it having to be told, you know. And it's just been amazing to see the growth that's taken place in her life over mm-hmm. the last, you know, couple of months. And so, you know.
So you're rewarding her.
So I rewarded her.
There you go.
And she was looked constantly for a pug. And, you know, these things are not cheap. These mm-hmm. are, you know, there's one particular store was selling them for like $4,000. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a pug?
$4,000 yeah. for a dog.
It's crazy. Oh, but you get 2 days of training, and it's not. No, that's not. That's not going to happen.
Ain't happening.
Well, there was a God deal No. There was a God deal that came along, mm-hmm. and so we immediately jumped on it and mm-hmm. went and.
So it was only what, like a 2,000?
No. Nowhere near
Not even close, huh?
Pocket change compared to that.
Very good. Congratulations.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, she is very happy. She is very excited.
Congratulations.
And she's still helping out around the house. She hasn't stopped. She says, I'm going to show you.
That's the test. Yeah. Will they continue?
Yeah.
Once they've been rewarded, will they continue to follow?
Yeah.
Nothing like a dog to help children with responsibilities and chores.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
If it goes in the house now, we're going to have problems.
Right. Well, I'm very proud of her and what she's doing. So.
That's awesome. That's a poet, dog trainer. Yep. I tell you, she's a jack of all trades.
Oh, I know, right?
Yep.
Amazing.
Well, I want to welcome everyone to the Extra Hour. Man, we've talked, what a powerful, powerful program. I want to share about encountering God. We've been talking about the glory of God. We've been talking about, you know, when God just shows up. But Lord, on my heart to talk about today, it's all about the encountering God. We need an encounter in Luke chapter 5. you know, we find that Jesus is doing what Jesus does. He's preaching the good news. He's sharing the word, you know, the word, and people are listening to the word of God. And he saw some boats at the water's edge, and basically he, you know, calls the fisherman over, and it's Peter that's he's actually, you know, talking to, Simon at the time. Mm-hmm. And he says, Simon, verse 5 says, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Well, let me back up a little bit. After Peter has been fishing all day long now, they've been fishing. They haven't caught a single thing. Mm-hmm. Not a single thing. Jesus tells him, hey, go a little deeper now and go ahead and drop these nets on the other side. Mm-hmm. And you can almost hear Peter's like, Lord, he's like,
are you serious?
Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And I just love that. You know, there's some things that people can tell us, but there's nothing like Jesus giving you a word. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That goes absolutely opposite of what's happening in the natural. No fishy here. But Jesus, because you say so, I will. And so Peter drops his nets, and to his utter amazement, his utter amazement, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in, come in, help us out, you know, when they pulled all this fish up. And when Simon Peter saw this, the word says that he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, go away. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so Jesus says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, you'll catch men. So they pulled up their boats offshore and left everything and followed him. I would say that Peter encountered Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, there was an encounter. There's something that's amazing that happens when people encounter the Lord. Mm-hmm. Simply amazing. Simply amazing. Go figure, when they encounter him, they want to follow him. They want to follow him. But they must first have an encounter, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
They have to have an encounter. I mean, he dropped the nets. He said, I'm done. You would think, you know, what was it that happened to Peter? Peter didn't say, well, Lord, can you just keep telling us where to go ahead and, you know, be our sonar and tell us where to drop these nets everywhere we go, and we can have a robust business, and you can just, you know, just show us all over this lake where we need to drop our nets. Mm-hmm. Peter said, no. There's no way what happened here today, there's no way. And this, you know, only God can touch you in a way that you know, that you know that it is God. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Because no telling what Peter was saying all night. We haven't caught no fish. We haven't sold anything. You know, we haven't taken these to the market. There is nothing going on. You know, we are in an economy, a bad economy right here in the Sea of Galilee. You know, no telling what he was going through. Mm-hmm. And Jesus shows up on the scene, contradicts everything that he was thinking in the natural and doing in the natural. Mm-hmm. And he says, just go ahead and drop them nets. And if Peter would have pondered just, I believe, a little bit longer, I mean, it almost seemed like it insulted his mind. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's going to insult your mind now.
Yeah. Oh, believe me.
In a heartbeat.
Peter was like, okay. And he dropped the nets. And he encountered the Lord. You know, the word encounter means a meeting. It means a convergence, the occurrence of two or more things coming together. Kaboom, right? There's an encounter. There's a convergence. And what people are needing, the great need of the hour, the great need for all of mankind across the world, right? Mm-hmm. Is for people today to truly encounter the living God. To truly encounter the living God. I mean, people have mistakenly, you know, encountered religion. and have mistaken it for God. But let me tell you, there's no comparison. This is not the same thing here, mm-hmm. right? Religion is exhausting and dreadful, right? Encountering God is an overwhelming, wonderful feeling resulting in amazing joy and gratitude and love and appreciation. And it creates a longing, a yearning to encounter him again mm-hmm. and again and again. I mean, when you know when someone has met with God, you know, that person's been with God.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, they have met with, wait, they met with the Lord. And we want to encourage you today that don't settle. Don't settle. Maybe you've caught yourself and say, you know, I don't know if I've encountered God. I know about God. I know of God. I've encountered the things of God. Maybe I've encountered religion. But encountering God, meet with God? Let me tell you, you can meet with God. You can encounter him today. And once you do, how do you know? Because he will radically change your life. Every person that encounters Jesus Christ, the end result is what? They follow him. I mean, in Mark chapter 5, a little demon-possessed guy, okay? He is out there chained up on the edge of the shore there. I mean, he was gnashing, cutting himself up, cutting a fool, you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And he would take off his clothes and all kinds of crazy stuff, and they had him chained up. Jesus comes up, and I'm paraphrasing. You can read Mark 5, but Jesus comes up, and they land on the shore. If you remember, there was a big storm prior to them landing, so he lands on the shore and basically sets this man free, tells the legion of demons that was inside of them. Mm-hmm. One word, if you're reading the Bible, the only word in red right there says go. It's like a whole pack, and it says go. And then Jesus says, go. And all these demons flee and run into these herd of pigs, and they just go right into the water. Mm-hmm. Well, before you know, the people come out and say, oh, my goodness, what is happening? They didn't understand, you know. I can't always say that when God, you know, when you encounter God, it's always going to look pretty. But I tell you, it's always going to be good. But it just, they were just, go, you know, they didn't understand what was happening. But then he looked over at the man that was demon-possessed. He was tying his shoes, combing his hair. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says he was in his right mind. And as Jesus was getting ready to go, he says, please take me. I want to go with you. Take me.
Right.
He says, no, you go back. You go back and tell him about your encounter with me. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more beautiful than to spend time with God and in the quietness, you know, of a room or in a chair and just encounter him. We won't talk about how to encounter God, but encountering him, experiencing his love, his presence, his goodness, right? Well, this man experienced and he encountered, you know, it's like, you know, demon possessed before Jesus, demon possessed man is a man set free after Jesus. What happened? There was an encounter. Well, how about the woman caught in adultery? John chapter 8. I would dare say that she encountered Jesus. I mean, the word says that she was caught in the act. However, she was the only one there. They had stones getting ready to throw. I don't know what happened to the other guy. And they were getting ready to stone this woman. I mean, they were really just she sinned and that's it. And this is what the law says. And she's done. She is done. It says so in the word. I mean, you know. And Jesus just begins to start writing on the ground. Mm-hmm. Just starts writing. The word is silent. Let's just say exactly what is Jesus was writing. Mm-hmm. Well, we can only just imagine. We can only just focus and think here what Jesus wrote on the ground that caused each one of those men, starting with the oldest ones first, to drop them stones one by one. All you heard was clack, 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 clack. You know what I'm saying? They would just kept dropping. It was raining stones. You know what I'm saying? And they all left. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were at 1 second ready to stone. I mean, stone means killing somebody with a rock. Can you imagine how many rocks it would take to kill someone? Literally. I mean, and how much pain it would take from the beginning first stone to the last stone that you were dead. It was a, you were being pulverized. Mm. Pulverized.
That must have been horrific.
Horrific. And yet they dropped. This is what awaited this woman. She knew. I'm sure she probably has seen other stonings. She knew what was going to happen to her. Mm-hmm. And they had a picture of that. And yet they were all gone. They were all gone. And Jesus says, where are your accusers? Where are they? They're gone. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Let me tell you, that woman had an encounter with Jesus Christ that day. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I go and sin no more. I bet she was done. You know, I've had a couple of those encounters. Like, oh, I'm finito.
The end.
It is the end. I am finished. Got it, Jesus, me and you, partners, right?
Mm-hmm. To the end.
She encountered God. I think about Paul riding on a, you know, Saul rather, riding on a little horse, a little donkey, if you will, mm-hmm. and gets knocked off the horse by a blinding light. Say, why are you persecuting me, the Lord said. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had such an encounter, such an experience with God. He went off to the desert. He said, I gotta drop everything. This was a man that was persecuting the church, killing Christians, and thought he was doing God a favor, but he encountered Jesus. And today, we have most of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. One man, one encounter. He met with God. And this is our inheritance. Let me tell you, God wants to meet with you. You can have a genuine experience with the Lord. I want to encourage you today that you know, if someone just turns you on to VFN radio and you're a seeker and you're being drawn to God, don't settle for religion. Don't settle for what's man-made, the traditions of man. You know what I'm saying? Don't settle for that. Settle to say, I want to meet God, the living God, the living God. And you can meet him. You can have an encounter with him. And the initial encounter that many of us have is, he's a holy God. We're a sinful person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he is God. He is God. And we realize that we got to get rid of the sin in our life. And it's like he came and died for our sin. And sin was, you know, we deserve hell, death, and the grave. And he paid the price. And it's like, oh, my goodness, I'm encountering his love. I'm encountering his forgiveness. I'm being caught up in God. Mm-hmm. And that's for you today. But, you know, that's the initial encounter. But you can continue to encounter God. Let me tell you something. You know, I don't understand if someone says they're bored in their walk. How can you be bored in your walk? How's that possible when you can have a relationship with the living God, with the creator and the manager of the universe, desires to be with you? Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
Well, we're going to talk about more when we come back from this break. We're going to talk about more how you can encounter God in so many ways. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source. You know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself, and you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but He won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Right. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits, and these strange people show up, knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that He's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back and then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris, and we're talking about encountering God, encountering Jesus. Mm. My goodness. I mean, Peter had an encounter.
Yes, he did.
The woman caught in adultery had an encounter. Mm-hmm. The man demon-possessed in Mark chapter 5 with Legion. They said, we are many. You know what I'm saying? we are many.
Yeah, he wasn't alone.
loneliness was not an issue here. But God set him free.
Yeah.
He encountered. And look, when he encountered God, he was in his right mind and ready to go. I mean, and this is what we talked about, that people that have a genuine encounter with God, there's only one response. I will follow you. Mm-hmm. I will follow you. I mean, even when Jesus started sharing some of the meat, right? Mm-hmm. Drink my blood, eat my flesh. And some of the other disciples started saying, I was with you for the healing part. I like the crowds. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I do like the miracles, you know, the fishes and the bread. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. Love all that. I heard about you walking on the water. I was not there. I heard about that, and I was hanging around to see if you would do that again. But this drinking of the blood, this, you know, eating of my flesh, this pick up my cross and deny my, I know what happens on crosses now. Mm-hmm. I've been around some. We'll be back. I got you back. Way back. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus just stood there. You know, Jesus just stood there and looks over at Peter and says, you going to go too?
You don't leave me.
You don't leave me? Mm-hmm. And Peter replies, I mean, I just love Peter. You know what I'm saying? I can relate so many other ways. Peter says, Lord, where else am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter said, I've encountered the Lord. Where else am I going to go? For me, it's all you. And I will follow you wherever you go. And you think about Paul, right? Saul at the time. Saul has an encounter in Acts chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And Word of God says in verse 3 that as he neared Damascus on his journey, right? Because he was ready. I mean, verse 1 says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. And this man was ready to execute, right? Mm-hmm. So as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Verse 5 says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up. Go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. And so Paul gets up, blinded, scales on his eyes, and had an encounter with God. Mm. Just riding on a donkey. Had an encounter with the Lord. And it changed. It changed his life. He went from a murderous person. Mm-hmm. He was a murderer. He was killing Christians and thought he was doing God a favor.
Yeah, in the name of God.
In the name of God. And was radically transformed by God, by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about encountering God. When we encounter him, when we encounter love. We encounter his love. We are encountering God. We're encountering Jesus. For the Word of God tells us that God is love. There's nothing like encountering the love of God. It will change. It will wreck your world. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. His love will wreck your world. We encounter God when we encounter his forgiveness. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like having, you know, this weight on your back. You know, this is what sin does. Sin steals your life of joy, of any kind of happiness, of anything that could be good in your life. Sure, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. But that's all it is. It's a season. At the end of that, you know, sin will take you, you know, longer than you, you know, it'll make you go further than you ever wanted to go, make you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay. And it'll make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. It's all an illusion. It's all designed to take you down. Mm-hmm. It'll suck the life out of you. And when we understand that when we need God, and that it, you know, John the Baptist said, "It behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." You know what I'm saying? Jesus came to take the sin out. But we can't have sin and God too. It just doesn't work. And so when we encounter his forgiveness, when we come to the realization and realize that, you know what? God, I'm going to face the judgment seat of God. I'm going to see God one day. And his hammer and his judgment can fall on me, or it can fall on the cross. Mm-hmm. When you experience the forgiveness of God and you start realizing all the stuff that you have done to others, what you've done to God, and you realize that Jesus is willing to wipe that slate clean when you give your heart to him, I always say, who could love you like that? I mean, listen, I don't have that many people love me. I don't have no one love me like that. You know something I don't know? You know what I'm saying? It's like, help me out. Mm. But who can love you like that? Mm. Let me know. There's no one, because people will forget. But they will forgive, but they may not forget. And the Lord says he'll separate your sins as far as east is from the west. When you encounter his forgiveness, you are encountering God. You're encountering his love. When you encounter God, when you encounter his grace, when you encounter the grace of God, you know, getting what you don't deserve, the favor of God in your life. You didn't know, you just got the job. You didn't know, you just got this family. You know, you didn't have no friends, and now you got a family that loves you. I mean, I'm serious. You ask the world out there, and they say, what do you want to be happy? And I want friends. And meanwhile, they don't have real friends. They don't have real friends. They don't have true relationships. Most people have no true relationships, can't even get six people outside of their family to carry their casket. And it's like, you lived 80 years in this world and don't have six people to carry your casket?
All right.
You know, what is that? There's no meaningful relationship. But when we have the grace of God and God blesses us and gives us what we don't deserve, when he blesses us with himself and he just pours it out, we've encountered God. We've encountered the grace of God, right? When he enables us to do what we cannot do on our own, it's like, trust me, this is all the grace of God, right? That you've encountered God. You've encountered God when you've encountered his mercy. There's nothing like mercy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bet you right now that the woman caught in adultery, she can teach a little bit here. She can preach a little bit. Mm-hmm. On mercy. Yeah. On mercy. We're talking about encountering God. You encounter God when you come in contact with the healer. When God heals you of your disease, when he heals you of your sickness, you know, there's nothing like seeing someone that's sick. I'll never forget when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. He was so shocked. And one of the things that he told me, says, it's like, it's hard for me to believe. I know they told me I have this, but I feel great. I feel fine. He was shocked. He thought he was okay. He didn't have any of the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Right? And wow. He thought he was fine. But yet when he needed a healer, my goodness, changed his whole world. upside down when the healer steps in and heals you and touches you in your body, touches you in your emotions. I mean, listen, people are doing all kinds of, we talked about self-hatred. There's people doing all, I heard someone here recently on the news that was getting plastic surgery so they can look better on Facebook. I'm serious. And that just broke my heart. This is a professional woman, and it just broke my heart to say, wow, why do you hate yourself so much that you want to change your chin? Are you serious? It just is a self-hatred. Let me tell you something. Only God can reach down on the inside of you and just start healing you of just the pain and the self-hate and the hurt and the things that people... But that's an encounter. That's an encounter with God. You encounter God when you encounter his deliverance, when you've been set free. You encounter God when you see him and meet him and converge with the fact that he is your protector and your defender. That though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That's encountering God. That's encountering Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful ways, that you can continually encounter God as a believer is when you spend time and you abide with him every day.
That's right.
You're encountering him. I love a quote that I saw somewhere says, he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody. When you spend time in the presence of his Lord, when you encounter his presence, when you encounter his glory, when you encounter his love, when you set time on a daily basis to say, I am going to, quote unquote, meet, right? Meet with God. We are going to converge. How awesome is that? God's designed us to have relationship with him. He says, my sheep shall know my voice. It's our inheritance. And so we set that time to spend time with the Lord and to abide. And you often may hear us of abiding, and you haven't done this yet, but you've heard it and heard it and heard it, but you haven't done it. I want to encourage you today, right now, go to iabide.org and request a simple plan on how to abide. You will encounter God like you've never encountered him before. I just heard a testimony of a woman who has been just known God for many years. And just started abiding, and it's changed her life because she's having an encounter with Jesus Christ. He is speaking to her through his word. She is hiding his word in her heart, and she's doing what Jesus tells her to do. Mm. And he's loving on her, offering her direction, warning her, teaching her, and she's encountering him. And that's our inheritance every day. I want to just encourage you today that you can encounter him. You can experience God. Don't settle for the traditions of man. But go all out for a true encounter with Jesus. We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing when you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path, depending on your time. And also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God, maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city. But I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out. VFNU.org. VFNU.org. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. and 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart is like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but I'm not a camper. I've camped more probably than the typical person. I am just not, I'm not a camper. I mean, camping for me was like, you know, you're in a hotel and
I mean, I think you're confused.
You're in a hotel and you are, hungry. You get hungry and you look at, and it's late, it's like midnight or something. And you look at the room service and it says room service, not after midnight. And then it's like, whoa, I'm camping out. I hope I can make it to like the room service comes again or the breakfast buffet opens up in the morning. I am telling you what, it's amazing. God will use the things that are not, the campers that not, are not, to nullify the campers that are.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Thank you for joining us in the extra hour. I'm John, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris, who are just talking about encountering God. Encountering God. If you missed it, you want to make sure to go back and find us on the extra hour and the highlight there on the torch. But you want to encounter Jesus. But, you know, it's so important, man. It's just so important.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, what you were talking about is exactly what, well, not exactly, but part of what God was sharing with me this morning. You know, when you talked about when I think it was Peter, his brother Andrew actually encountered Jesus when they were fishing.
Yeah.
And then it was James and John were out there as well when God called them. But I was reading in Matthew when God called Matthew, which he was a tax collector. And in Matthew 9, it says, as Jesus came from, he just got through healing a paralytic. And it says, when he came from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth.
Mm.
Matthew, the IRS agent. And Jesus says to him, follow me. And it says, Matthew got up and followed him. Now, Lucas says, Matthew left everything and followed him.
Mm.
So while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And you know, Matthew was just so excited that, you know, he just threw this big party and banquet, you know, at his house. You know, and he says, come on, man, you got to meet this guy.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, yeah, here he is just doing his job. You know, not the best job in the world. I mean, I'm sure he probably wasn't the most
you know, popular.
Yeah, popular, honorable type. You know, those are, when you saw Matthew coming, you probably went the other way.
That's right. He was charging some excessive taxes.
Yeah, and I'm sure he was probably pocketing a little bit of himself.
Yeah, he was.
And but yet, when he encountered Jesus, he just left it. He dropped it all. I mean, knowing full well he's about to be unemployed and probably never be able to go back to that ever again. Because once you've encountered God, the things of the world just don't satisfy anymore. They just, you cannot go back to it.
That's right.
And I'm just blown away. It just amazes me that he didn't know Jesus from Adam. You know what I'm saying? He didn't know him. He didn't know who he was.
That's right.
But then he did.
Yeah.
He didn't, but then he did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that just blows me away. This stranger just walks up to you and he says, "Follow me."
Mm.
And you just get up and walk off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's left all his sinner buddies. He left all his tax collector buddies.
Yeah.
And he just left.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there meditating on that. I'm thinking, wow, man, I must have took some awesome faith just up and walk out, you know, and leave all that stuff. And then God reminded me, says, "Well, you remember where you were when I called you?"
That's right.
Like, oh, yeah. That's right. I just started pondering all the things that I'd left behind.
Yeah.
You know, all the things that I had to make changes in my life. You know, I had to had to leave, you know, the living situation I was in.
Mm.
You know, I left my girlfriend. I left the home I was in. I ended up living in some loft in some dude's house, you know, eating whatever. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the most ideal living situation.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. Because when God called me, I left everything. It just didn't matter.
Right.
You know, I didn't care that my friends liked me anymore because they left me.
I think we're having a convergence.
Yeah. It was like everything. Either I left them or they're going to leave me. It was just what was going to happen.
Right.
You know, and I thought about, you know, all the things that I had to leave behind. You know, I've left jobs. I mean, I've left things I used to do, all that stuff. Once you encounter God, nothing else matters.
It's all over.
It's it. You know, you're talking about Paul and his encounters and, you know, the woman caught in adultery and, like, they met God.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. Once you've met him, nothing else satisfies. You don't go back. And
that's
if
right.
you do, you're one miserable dude. I mean, you're just, because you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Because once you've made, you know,
it's it.
That's it, dude. You're undone.
And that's the test. You know, that's the test. That's the test you want to ask yourself. You want to know, you're wondering, have I encountered God? Have I met God? Have I encountered this Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what happens when you encounter Jesus. You leave everything behind.
Mm-hmm.
You leave the old world. You leave the sin. You leave anything that will separate you from God. He just got to go. It just doesn't matter. He becomes the greatest thing in your heart and in your life. And today, there's just a gospel being preached that you could just add Jesus with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just include him, you know, just throw him with everything on the plate. And you put him on a coat, like a coat, to disguise everything else that you got going on. And today is Sunday, so I'll just put on my Jesus coat. And then, no. When you encounter Jesus, your whole life revolves around Jesus. Jesus affects your economy. Jesus affects your family values. Jesus affects, you know, how you treat people. He affects every single thing about you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no stone. There's nothing in your life that's left untouched.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care price. You don't care the price.
That's it. I didn't care, man. I didn't care about who ridiculed me, who thought I was crazy. You know, it just didn't matter. Nothing else mattered anymore. You know, once I've met God, and you think about how God looks at you. You know, because you're always concerned about, God, does God really love me? Does he? You know, because you blow it, you feel like you just lost your salvation. It's like when I first got saved, man, I was going to the altar every night. You know what I'm saying? I got saved every night, you know? And, it's just, God just looks at you and he's smiling, man. He's so in love with you. He's so pleased because you've turned your back on that stuff. Mm-hmm. The fact that you turned away from your old lifestyle.
Yeah.
Man, he's just beaming.
Mm. Yeah. That's so beautiful. Even you may be, you know, struggling right now and you're listening and you're saying, you know what, I think I counted God, but I still have, let me tell you something. Settle that in your heart. Mm. Settle that in your heart. You know, there is nothing else going on this weekend. You know what I'm saying? Clear the schedule and meet with God. Mm-hmm. Meet with God, because once you encounter him, this is what we're talking about. This is what the world needs. It needed an encounter. You're not going to need rules. See, if it's rules and regulations that's keeping you from acting right or not doing something wrong, you haven't encountered him. Mm-hmm. If you need these outward things to help you to have this behavior modification, you don't know him. You haven't encountered him. Mm-hmm. When you encounter Jesus, you are compelled because you love him. Now, may you slip and may you, you know, those things are going to happen and you can repent and you can ask God. But the heartbeat, your heartbeat, your longing is to say, I want him and I want him more. You know, I love that song we just sing. I need you, Lord, more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, you know, right. More than my next heartbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, I need you, Lord. Mm-hmm. I need you, Lord. And I think about the brevity of life, and I think about, you know, legacy and what we leave behind. And, you know, everybody dies. You know, you live once and you're going to die.
Yeah.
And what is said and done, and it's, you know, it's one thing when we see, like, you know, someone that's passed away, maybe they just lived a bad life and they hurt a lot of people and they say, well, yeah, you know, they're gone. And but then you look at other people that pass away, they've given all their life to the Lord and maybe served him and just did, let's say, an amazing work. And you realize and say, you know what? Those people died too. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's over. It's finished. And you realize that from the time that you were born to the time that you pass away, you know, on your tombstone, there's a dash. And that dash basically represents what you did with your life in the life that you had on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done. And that's it. And it's a wrap.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? Why live one more day? Why live one more day without experiencing his love, without experiencing his forgiveness,
right,
and letting him radically change your life?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, once you've been changed by God, there's no, it's, you know, you, nothing satisfies you
unless, that's right,
except for more of him.
That's,
you
right.
Know, and then when you start abiding, it's just God's, you know, it's just like an onion, you know, he just begins to start unveiling little by little,
mm-hmm.
you know, of himself. And you're just, wow, God.
Yeah.
Man, it's awesome.
I love what someone said. You can have as much of God as you want. Mm-hmm. The question is, how much do you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can pursue him and you can say, you know what? I'm going to have him. I love A.W. Tozer's book. It's called The Pursuit of God. That's one of my favorite books. But, you know, in there he has chapter 2, The Blessedness of Possessing Nothing. Oh, my goodness. The chapter changed my life. Because he talked about how Abraham said, listen, my true riches. Abraham was an extremely wealthy man in the Bible. He says, my true riches are eternal and internal.
Mm-hmm.
The wealth that I have, the value, the sustenance of my life is not in the accumulation of things, but is absolutely in my union, in my commitment, in my relationship with this man, fully man, fully God, Jesus. I encountered him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not called just to love him, but we're called to fall in love with him. I mean, he's just amazing. We can talk about encountering him all day.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you, encounter him afresh. Encounter him afresh, because you can continually to encounter him. And we do that when we set time daily to abide with him. I encourage you, get into a place of quietness. You know, get into a place of solitude. And sometimes it's not always about trying to give the Lord a whole list of things. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
You know, God gave us, you know, one mouth and two ears. It's probably because we need to listen twice as much as we talk, you know? and maybe we just focus on just listening and just being in his presence, you know? He takes residence up in you if you know, if you've accepted him as your Lord. He's, he you know, saying your body is his temple. He's present.
Mm-hmm.
And meditate on his goodness and meditate on who he is to you. Encounter him. Well, you know, as we come close to the end of the extra hour here today. We do want to talk about the top three on the torch and the highlights. We are so encouraged by the highlights, and I hope you are too. We're hearing all the feedback. Just yesterday, we discussed how there was over 1,200 highlights.
I know. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing. And they're there. They're free of charge. You can be encouraged and listen to them for yourself. But you know what? You can do something good and pass it along. You know, one word, one bit of encouragement can change someone's entire life. Wouldn't you want to be the one that send the link? You know, that send the link. So I want to encourage you to do that today. But the first one we want to talk about is zeal without knowledge equals trouble. I'm saying that again. Zeal without knowledge equals trouble. And this is a moment of wisdom. It was found in Proverbs 19:2. And we share how you can be full of zeal and haste and do what you're doing, all the while you don't have any knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's zeal, you know, and you're running around and all this type of stuff, and you can be doing something, but you don't have knowledge. And we continue to share that you can follow someone who has zeal without knowledge, and you will end up very tired, worn out, and nowhere, or worse, in captivity. This is serious. Just as they are, you know, because you didn't find out that they didn't have a clue on what they were doing. They didn't have a clue. And you were doing it too. You were following them. It's important to seek the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, you know, for what he's called you to do in your life. I mean, it's so important because knowledge doesn't stop zeal, but on the contrary, it causes not only, you know, for your zeal to be meaningful, but you become more fruitful, you become productive, and it becomes long-lasting.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. So just a reminder, you want zeal with knowledge.
Yes, that's so very important.
Otherwise, you're going to be doing a whole lot of something, you know, and you're going to be slap wore out, and you may not be doing the right thing. You just got zeal. The second one we want to talk about is to turn it off and tune into God. Turn it off and tune into God. And this is a segment, a highlight that we shared about the necessity of turning off the television, the iPads, the iPods, the Androids, every other thing that causes you to be distracted, and tune in instead to God. Turn off the TV, right? Turn it off and tune into God. Because there's so many things happening going on today, especially in America, what we're going to see over the next 15 months. Let me tell you something. You know, Jesus said, you're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if we're not, you know, turning off the distractions, then we're not going to hear his voice. We're not going to hear his leading. We're not going to hear his direction. And so we want to encourage you, listen to Turn It Off and Tune Into God, because it's in the tuning into God that you're going to find the true meaning to life. And the last one we want to talk about is my life, his glory. My life, his glory. And this is where we shared, you know, that so many people today, you know, they've become dissatisfied with life, and life has become unfulfilled. And they haven't realized that they were made for the glory of God. I'm talking about believers. You know, they're dissatisfied with their jobs, their marriages, their lifestyle, their relationships, their personal economy. You know, but they fail to recognize that our chief end as a son and a daughter of God, our chief end is to glorify God. John 15:8 says this, that this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. When we show ourselves, when God's children show ourselves to be his disciple, and we bear fruit, showing that we're the disciples and followers of God, God is glorified. And I want to encourage you today that you can begin to bear fruit in your life, and you can give God glory in a few major areas. You can give God glory in your purity, in your family, in your character, in your finances, you know, in your entrustments, in your work, in your ministry, in your abiding. You were made to glorify God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.